CliffCentral.com.
Next week, Friday, next week, Saturday, we leave, and I'm away for a week and doing some pretty amazing things. I'm going to be going to Silicon Valley. This trip is just phenomenal, and I think they really just had one person drop out and they decided to put me in their place or something, because I don't understand why I was put in. But we've got Setlogane and Dan here to help us figure out what's going on. First of all, gentlemen, welcome, and thank you for coming to visit us this morning. I'm going to find out all about what this trip is, because first of all, I don't know any of the detail yet. And second of all, I want to meet you. At least I'll know someone on the trip, because we're going to, you know, you can't bump into Zuckerberg and go, hey, would you mind accompanying me to the airport or whatever? So you could have other people with you. Setlogane, nice to meet you, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Sure.
And thanks for agreeing to join us on the trip.
Wow, what a pleasure. So first of all, you've been with Investec now for a little bit, but you've done a bunch of other things. You're on the board of directors of Enovate. You also have just finished a master's in commerce from the University of Johannesburg. You're one of those people who can do many different things all at the same time, and you don't ever get tired. I mean, how the hell do you do that?
You know, I guess being the head of corporate social investments is a very inspiring place to be. And all you got to try and do is you got to motivate and encourage people that it's possible. And that's really what I live, is that on a daily basis, my role is to say to people, particularly those who are previously disadvantaged, those who grew up like me in a rural village of dusty rural Gapahla in Limpopo.
Is that where you're from?
That's where I'm from. And I grew up around people with very little hope. And I think I've made it my mission to provide and give that hope. I've made it my mission to make a contribution in a way that leaves something that says, you know, what I do for myself dies with me, but what I do for others and with others shall live a long-lasting legacy, even long after I've gone. And that's the mark I'm really attempting to make.
So, Setlogane, how does that happen? I mean, how do you start? Because a lot of people growing up in places like Vuani, where we saw these schools being burnt down the other day in Limpopo, you see these people, and they may be the most talented, brilliant, intelligent children there, and the whole world is just against them. They might not be able to go to school because of what happened in Vuani just the other day. They might have no parents, because both of their parents might have died when they were very young. They might be being raised by a grandparent or even an elder sibling. There's no money. It's tempting to just give up, right?
I think you can be easily overwhelmed. But I think the acknowledgement that potential, in whatever form, be it for maths and science, be it for entrepreneurship, be it for some art, be it for whatever ability, is immense out there. It's in Vuani. It's all over the country. And what is missing, which is what corporates, governments, other entities ought to create, is opportunities that match that potential. And that's where we're going to start. We may not be able to reach everyone, but all the ones that I often call positive deviants, there will be individuals from Vuani who, against all odds,
will succeed.
Yeah. And those are the people that we've got to give an opportunity to.
And those are also the people who set the example to show that it is possible.
Exactly.
And then everybody else can follow. But unless we have these examples, and for a lot of young black South Africans for a long time, there haven't been examples of people who, like them, have had to put up with a huge amount and still try to get ahead. Mm. In this case, I suppose you are also one of those examples, and you must be one of those people. I mean, how often do you get to go home?
I get to go home very often. I've built a home in Limpopo deliberately, because the challenge is always that you grow up in this dusty rural village, and then you make it, and then you move to Morningside, wherever that you move, and the guys never get to see you. And I've been very conscious to say, these guys have got to see that one of them still lives. I MC at funerals. I MC at weddings. I'm literally, I live between Morningside and Gapahla. That's very, very important, because how else do they aspire to? I mean, I say to people, when I grew up, the people I got exposed to in terms of careers were police officers, because there was a bit of mischief around. There were teachers, because I went to a school. There were nurses. And if you happened to go to a hospital, you were lucky to see a doctor. And those are the kind of careers that you got to see. How else do I get to imagine that there's chartered accountancy? How else do I get to imagine that there's actuarial science? How else do I get to aspire to become better? How else do I know that it is indeed possible?
Now, in your role at Investec, you obviously have to deal with a lot of people who are in big corporates already, and people who are starting off little businesses, and you're able to help some people and not everybody. How do you go about choosing who these these positive deviants are, these potential future billionaires? How do you pick them up?
You know, let me tell you, the dilemma in selection, and for the past 13 years, worked through it on a daily basis, is denying somebody an opportunity that actually deserves that opportunity.
Yeah.
Or is it giving to somebody who actually is not going to make best use of that opportunity? And one of the kind of things that you got to do is you got to trust your gut. It's a very fun, I call it the MBA of life.
Mm.
You know, it's experience that teaches you it. You can see it, you can feel it, and you know that you have a higher chance. Yes, of course, when it's academic, you look at the academic results and so on. Sometimes they're not worth the paper they're written on, but nevertheless, you have some sense, a frame of reference that says there is potential here and I'm going to take this bet.
You know, I spoke to two people yesterday who also were speaking the same language that you are. Tito Mboweni was here, and we had a long chat about what he had to do to kind of set the basics in place for our economy post-1994. And he was Minister of Labor and then later on Governor of the Reserve Bank. And he did a lot to help us issue our first sovereign bonds and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I also spoke to the editor of Forbes Africa, Chris Bishop, who told me that he thinks that the future of this country is not in resources and commodities. It's in manufacturing and it's in technology and it's in trying to solve our biggest problems. In solving our biggest problems, we'll create the biggest opportunities and we'll build infrastructure and there'll be a huge amount of money spent and a huge amount of money made out of all of that. Do you agree?
I agree. I mean, one of the departure points that I always encourage is social entrepreneurship.
Hmm.
Social entrepreneurship says, listen, we've got a myriad of a whole host of challenges in society. One of them majorly is education. Look at the number of private schools that are coming up. Look at the edtech and what creative kind of solutions people are proposing. And that is in response to real challenges, because over time, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see in the challenges immense opportunity, potential for us to actually generate revenue and give back to society at the same time. What a meaningful way to make money, be a successful business person, but also know that you've made the kind of contribution. I mean, if you think of Brian Joffe and Bidvest, I've often listened to him. One of the things that he often says is he takes pride in the number of people that they've created employment for. So he's made a success for himself, but that's important. That's what we're going to encourage people to do.
Wow, you're very inspiring. You know that. You're almost shouting at me across the desk here. I feel like I should be doing more. Dan, how are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me.
Good. Now, I'm not going to hold it against you. You're from Boston.
I am.
Now, tell me what Enovate is. This is your business. You're one of the co-founders and you're the chief operating officer. And obviously, Setlochane is on your board. But what does Enovate do? What is your business?
So essentially, Enovate started because we realized that South African entrepreneurs were starting companies with only the local market in mind. When you go to countries like Israel and Sweden, because they have small populations, when an entrepreneur starts a business, they automatically create a product that the rest of the world is going to use. However, in South Africa, when we see the businesses that are being started here, it's really only for the local market. And we realized that the only way to get South African entrepreneurs to start doing business globally and thinking globally is to, first of all, take them out of the country. Many of the entrepreneurs that we take on our trips have never been out of South Africa. They don't even know how to start creating a product for a global market. So Enovate does two things. One is we facilitate these incredible exposure trips all over the world for top entrepreneurs in specific sectors. And then the second part of our business is we assist those entrepreneurs build actual business partnerships with those companies abroad.
Okay, now I'm coming along because I'm also going to help tell the story of what's going on here. But for a lot of these people who you've invited, and we can go through some of them, and we even meet some of them, I think next week we're going to have a couple of them on and find out what their businesses are. What kinds of really clever ideas are coming out of South Africa? Last year we did a competition with Virgin Atlantic, and we had two teams of entrepreneurs meet Richard Branson. We actually sent them up in a plane and flew around Joburg. And these guys, the one team were called Drone Snap. They had this idea of, kind of, they would pilot drones around. So if you needed aerial photographs taken or you wanted wedding pictures taken or whatever, they'll professionally fly the drones, because a lot of people are buying drones. They're cheap enough, but not everyone can fly them. So you crash them into the trees when they're meant to be taking pictures of people. So that's a clever business. And the other one was this woman who is making shoes that you can basically roll into a tiny little bundle, put in your bag, very smart shoes. And so if you need to take two pairs of shoes to the office. You can swap these there. And she's started it and is running a very creative and very, very successful business as a result. Now, these are just two examples of the people that we've already met. What kinds of people are we taking with us?
So, I mean, again, when we chose the participants for the trip, we made sure that their products were applicable all over the world. So one very exciting company that we're taking is Leash. What Leash does is they install a very tiny chip into any product. You can say a wallet. How many times have you lost your wallet or you just cannot find it in your house? The chip is installed in the wallet and you can track exactly where you left it. And you can really do that for any small item that you own. We have Francois Liebenberg has Pocket Slip, which essentially digitalizes all of your receipts when you go to shops and you can keep track of how much you've spent during the week. These are products that the average consumer in China or the United States can use, but they're from here, South Africa.
And it is true to say that there is an overrepresentation of South Africans in Silicon Valley by proportion to, you know, our place in the world and the world economy. There are a lot of South Africans who are doing very, very interesting things there.
And we'll be meeting with some of them. I mean, we're going to be meeting with Rolf Buerta, who was the CFO of PayPal. He's now at Sequoia Capital. We're going to be meeting with top IP lawyers originally from South Africa who are now in the States. So we're also going to learn, and Vinnie Lingam we're having dinner with, who was a judge on Dragon's Den. So we're going to be meeting with South Africans who made it in Silicon Valley and also find out how did they become successful there?
No, it's tremendous. There are also a couple of interesting things happening on this trip. I mean, you get to spend time around probably the most successful media businesses in the world, Facebook and Google. And we get to go to their offices, which are apparently extraordinary.
Yeah, so it's actually going to be my first time at both campuses. What's interesting is, you know, this isn't tech tourism. We're not going to, as a group, just to stand in front of a sign and take a photo and take a tour of the offices. Essentially, what we're doing at Facebook and Google is we're looking at how can we facilitate actual business partnerships between those larger companies and our entrepreneurs. You know, we had a conversation with Google, and they're very, very interested in doing more business in emerging markets. And we see the entrepreneurs that we're bringing on this trip as a potential bridge between those large corporates in the U.S.
It's almost like a trade delegation, right?
Essentially. And we judge the success of this trip based on how many actual business partnerships came out of the meetings that we had.
That's incredible. Setlochane, when you think about our position in the world, we in some ways underplay our hand, and in other ways we just aren't doing enough. Do you feel like we are reaching a point now in South Africa where there's critical mass for us to be able to kick this economy in the right direction, for people with great ideas, for all these innovators to be able to play their role in a much more meaningful and much more profitable way?
You see, I think one of the crisis points, if I may call them that, is that come 1994, we were all excited with, you know, really hoping.
It was euphoria.
That, yes, and,
yeah.
And there was a sense of a change for a better life for all. 20 odd years later, the pace of change has been rather slow. And in fact, has resulted in some form of agitation, frustration, yep, and all these. And one of the most important things that we ought to do is we ought to up the ante. So we have no choice. We've come to a crossroad. We have no choice but to up the ante. And the only way to up the ante is to work on the economy. And these kind of initiatives, this kind of exposure is aimed at facilitating the growth of these entrepreneurs, because in the growth of these entrepreneurs lies the growth of many other people.
Small businesses will give jobs to people who don't currently have jobs.
And that's very important. Because quite frankly, I mean, I engage with a lot of youngsters. All of you think we worry about crime and all. Yes, they do. But actually, one of the biggest things they worry about is inclusion. Is inclusion in the economy. Mm-hmm. Because when you are an active economic participant, your sense of worth, your sense of contribution, your sense of
direction,
everything goes up.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to go for.
What do you say to someone in South Africa who says, listen, maybe I'm a trick and I want to study, or I am studying, and even people who have degrees, and they say, I just can't find work.
You know, one of the things, and this is what we've got to challenge, is traditionally the academic route has prepared people for tertiary. And yet the stats tell us.
Nothing.
Only a small proportion. Mm-hmm. Only a small proportion are that way inclined and will make a success of it. What we've got to try and create is exactly this opportunity. One that says, as opposed to being a job seeker, mm-hmm, you've got to look around you and become a job creator. And that's what we're going to do.
for some people that's hard. And I can tell you, having run this business for 2 years, and before that it was easier to just, you know, take a salary and not have to worry, and you could budget every month for what you have to do. It's much harder when you don't have those guarantees in place. And you know that the fundamentals make sense, and you believe in your vision, and you stick to your goals, and you kind of reach the milestones when you do. But it's not an easy thing, and you lie in bed awake at night wondering whether what you're doing is going to be a success or not. And it's a worry. It's much harder to be a job creator, as you call them.
I have no doubt it's much harder. And one of the things that we don't do much of is showcase failure and appreciate and embrace failure and showcase how many times people have failed before they can actually make a success, because that's also in itself very aspirational. That's also very in itself saying to people, you know what, lie awake, fail, but actually get up, because some people have failed 4 or 5 times before they made the success of 1 or 2 things.
Now, are there any things that we need to know about this trip that you haven't already told us? Are there any other exciting things that you're throwing in, or are we pretty much on the money here? Because that sounds like a full itinerary as it is.
Well, I think what's going to be very exciting is we're the first African delegation to ever attend the Silicon Valley Open Doors Conference, which is essentially the premier technology investment conference in Silicon Valley for non-American startups that want to access Silicon Valley VC. They choose 35 startups from throughout the world at that conference to pitch on stage in front of the biggest investors, and on the spot they can get investment. 3 of our entrepreneurs from the trip were selected to pitch on stage, which is a huge accomplishment considering that they had to compete against startups from Brazil, China, Russia, and other parts of the world.
Amazing.
And you know what's exciting? I mean, just think about one of them who's to present. You asked what caliber have we got. I think of Sapo Makwazima. Mm-hmm. Umoye, what do they do? You know, we're in an environment where "please call me" is a pretty dominant kind of topic, where those who cannot afford to make calls will send you a "please call me." In this case, he says, "I'm going to give you the ability to make a 1 minute call, but first, what you got to do is you got to listen to an ad,
right?
And that's it." I mean, this for us in a South African context, where communication is such a challenge. Wow, exciting! And clever. He made it. He made it on that list. On his own accord, not because he was pushed, but it is testament to the fact that not everybody who walks into the street as an entrepreneur, off the street into InvestTech as an entrepreneur, will join us to go to Silicon Valley or India or anywhere else that we're going to go into in the future.
These are incredible opportunities and experiences, and I think that it's terrific that you get behind this, because a lot of people talk about CSI like it's you have to do charity, you almost have to help out and be seen to be doing good. But this can have a massive positive effect on the economy. It can have an incredible knowledge effect too, because people will come back and they'll have ideas over and above the ideas they've already had on their way there. And I think that they could infuse this sector, technology, information, communications, all of that stuff, in ways that it probably hasn't, with new and brilliant ideas right from the edge, from the guys at the world's forefront.
What's also very exciting is, you know, we have many more trips that we're doing this year with various corporates. We actually have an application that just opened right now for our Seattle trip, which we're doing in July. It's for tech entrepreneurs.
Can any tech entrepreneur enter?
Absolutely. Our criteria, it's actually very open criteria. You have to be part of the founding team of your startup. You have to have an annual turnover of under 50 million rand. And your startup needs to be registered in South Africa. That's it.
That's all. Those three things. So listen, if you are sitting at home, you're listening to us now. A lot of our listeners are people who are early adopters. These are usually smart people. So this is where you're going to get them. If you're sitting at home, you've just started a tech business. It's something in the tech field. You have turnover of under 50 million, so you're not a massive runaway success yet, but you're hoping to get there. You're one of the founders, and you want to go on this trip. All you have to do is prove that your company's registered and you're in.
Well, no.
No, I mean, you're in the runnings.
Yes, you can certainly apply.
You're not chosen.
Yeah. And it's very easy to apply. You can go to innovate.co.za. So it's ennovate.co.za. The application will come up. It's open for a few more weeks. And also just, follow the various trips that we're going to be doing this year. We're going to be going all over the world.
It's terrific.
You know, Gareth, you were just talking about how CSI is often done for PR reasons, perhaps for compliance. I think it's a very important point for one to emphasize. Is that the question why you do CSI is an important one.
Mm.
And our belief at Investec is that we do this to drive meaningful change in society. Everything else, compliance, PR, will fall into place. That's not what you should drive it for. You should drive it because you understand it to be the right thing to do. You should drive it because you understand that you live within society and not of society. You must affirm your part as not being a part of society, but a part of society. And that fundamentally changes the way you view CSI. And the why you do CSI, if you get the correct answer, affects the what and the how you do it. And that's fundamental, and many miss it.
I couldn't agree more. And what we were saying earlier about solving our problems, that's where you start seeing the opportunities. And once you solve these problems for ordinary people on the ground, they are willing to pay for certain ways to make their problems go away. You'll make money. Everyone makes a success of themselves. And once you start to see that burgeoning and expanding beyond what each of us are individually doing, you see changes in society. It's terrific. Dan Setlogane, thank you so much for coming to see us this morning. It's really a pleasure to meet you both, and I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be amazing. It's really going to be very, very exciting. So thank you very much.
Thank you,
gentlemen. There we go. We'll find out more, and of course, we'll be crossing live. I'll be talking into Ben and Mabali in your ears during the course of that week that we're away in Silicon Valley, and we'll be crossing over from wherever we may be at the headquarters of some major company. We may be exploring San Francisco or Mountain View or Palo Alto. Who knows? We'll let you know, and we'll let you in on it so you can come along as, I'll hide you in my luggage, basically. Make sure you join us. All right, when we come back in a short while, we go through some of the other things, and we still got lots to talk about. Don't miss any of today on CliffCentral.com.